لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. Before we continue the discussion about the ways to deepening our faith, and this is of course our last night, and inshallah we'll try to conclude, I would like to express my thanks and gratitude to the Jamaat in Nairobi, especially to the organizers of the program, to the authorities of the Jamaat, to my host, especially Ibrahim Bai Jafar, who really extended the sincerest and heartiest hospitality to me, and to all the community who bore with me, sometimes with my boring comments here on the pulpit. And inshallah, Allah will accept all these from us, and inshallah, especially accept from the Jama'ah, from those who contributed to this program to be held in nice way in the commemoration and lamentation for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. About the Quran, we said that it's the beginning and the end of all endeavors to deepen our faith. And we discussed certain aspects of Quran, levels of understanding. There's always one question, and this is very important, and that is people ask, what should we do to prepare for the coming of the 12th Imam? What is the most important thing that we can do in preparation of reappearance of our beloved Imam? Well, we don't know, he may come at any time, maybe inshallah in our lifetime, we pray for that. And even if in, not in our lifetime, just being prepared in itself is a merit. أفضل الأعمال انتظار الفرج. The most meritorious act is just to expect the coming. Now, expectation means you prepare yourself. Expectation means that you do certain things. So what is the most important thing that we can do in expectation of the reappearance of our Imam? The answer is very simple. We have to tune our values with the values of the Quran. This is very important. I tell you why. There is a hadith from reported from Imam Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam. In Nahjul Balagha, where he says about reappearance of the Imam when he comes, he says, يَعْتَفُ الْحَوَى عَلَى الْهُدَى إِذَا عَتَفُ الْهُدَى عَلَى الْهَوَى وَيَعْتِفُ الرَّأْيَ عَلَى الْقُرْآنِ إِذَا عَتَفُ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى الرَّأْيِ. He will return back all whimsy wishes and whimsy ideas, whimsical ideas, fancy ideas of people about faith, such things. He returns them back all to guidance. And he returns all the opinions to the Quran after people have made the Quran to follow their opinions. We have to be very careful, especially in these times where values in society are changing. This is a very critical moment in human history, you know, in, of course, modern human history, because history has had lots of turns and twists. But in modern human history, we are living in a time where essential values that we have been taught in the past are changing. You see all these talks about human rights, and certain things are regarded to be human rights now that in the past they were the most obscene, the most abominable acts in human values. So we are just in this turn and twist of human values. Now, certainly this is not neglected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's watching, and the Imam alayhi salam, when he comes, he tells us what are the values of the Quran. Nowadays we see even when we recite the Quran, we try to tune the Quran to the modern values because we are inculcated. It's inculcated inside us, these values. When this happens, what will be the end? When Imam alayhi salam comes, he says that these are the values of the Quran. Our heart says, no, it's not possible. Our values are very different. Then the heart rejects. When the heart rejects, it means that you cannot accept what the Imam alayhi salam says. Do you think what happened to the Jewish nation when Jesus Christ came? Why did they deny him? Why did they say that you are not the Messiah? Because what he said was 180 degrees opposite to the values that they had cherished during the years. They have read the Torah. The Torah was in tune with the values that Jesus taught. However, the Jews had interpreted it in a way that it was now 180 degrees opposite to those values that Jesus was teaching, and they said, you are an imposter, you are not the Messiah, and they killed him, or tried to kill him. They say, we killed him, we say they tried to kill him, Allah saved him. So, if, God forbid, we are not in tune with the values of the Quran, getting in tune with the values of the Quran is not something easy. We think it's easy. We have to be very intimate with the Quran to internalize those values. We have those values to be learned internally. That's very important. Nowadays, our values, our information, our knowledge is not internal, it's internet knowledge, isn't it? We get everything from internet, very shallow, superficial, but they don't go internally inside our soul and heart. So, when the Imam comes, you see, he doesn't need your power, your physical power, your sword, your weapon. We know that he is supported. He is Al-Imamul Mansur. No one can defeat him. No one. Whatever is in the world, no one can defeat him. So he doesn't need these things. What we need, not he needs, what we need when he comes is that to accept him, not to reject him. And this is not something that, for example, we say Muslims would accept or Shias would accept, Christians would reject. No, it's not like that. Whoever has those values accepts. Whoever doesn't have those values would reject him in one way or another. Either he's an imposter or no, he's not the one that we expected. He doesn't say the things that we understand. This is why they say when Imam alayhi salam comes, he comes يَأْتِي بِكِتَابٍ جَدِيدٍ, with a new book. Of course, he doesn't bring any new book. He recites the Quran in a way that is new for us. We realize that this is not what we understood from the Quran. We have to free our mind from whatever people say about values and let the Quran mold our values, mold our soul and mind. When it molds it, then of course, no matter what people say, we say, no, this is the ruling of the Quran, this is the value of the Quran, and we follow that one rather than the values which are being produced. You know, because human being is given more wealth, is given more comfort, is given things that they didn't have before, now, kalla inna al-insana la yadgha arrahu istaghna. Man would transgress. When they see they are needless, they have power, they have wealth, they have comfort, everything, they start to transgress in those values, and we have to be very careful. So, Quran is the most important thing or the most important facility which has been put at our disposal for deepening our faith, inshallah. What after that? What after the Quran? After the Quran comes continuous remembrance of Allah in the heart. In the heart. That's very important. Which is very difficult, of course. In Dua Kumail, you heard, of course, we recite all the time, Waj al-Lisani bi-dhikrika lahija. However, there's something which comes after that. Wa qalbi bi-hubbika mutayyama. Make my heart infatuated with your love. Your love enters it. And this is something that we have to really humbly request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I talk about dua later on. Now, dhikrullah, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Remember him abundantly, or have the dhikr of Allah abundantly. Wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila, in Surah Ahzab, huwa alladhi. This is very, very interesting. I don't know whether you have noticed this before or not. هُوَ الَّذِي يُسَلِّ عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He and his angels are sending greetings, salat, rahmah to you all the time to bring you from darkness into light. And he is very, very compassionate and kind to the believers. Does this verse remind you of any other verse in the Quran? In the same surah. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Isn't it? Allah and the angels are sending greeting. Of course, their greeting is different from our greeting. Their greeting is rahmah and mercy. Yusalluna ala nabi. And here it says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَ. The same thing. He and his angels are greeting you. Now, for the Prophet, is not to bring him out of darkness into light, because he is in the light. It's just to raise him higher and higher and higher in light. For us, is to bring us out of darkness into light. What's darkness? What's this darkness which is encompassing us? Is Allah present here now that you are sitting or not? He's present. Do you feel his presence? No. I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about you may feel, okay? Do we feel his presence? No. Do we feel his close? No. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْبَرِيدِ. We are closer to him than the jugular vein. But are we also close to him in the same way? No. Why? It's because of darkness is covering our soul and heart. This darkness, Allah says, all the time he and his angels are pushing you out of this darkness to come closer and closer. And it's only possible by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dhikr Allah. And this dhikr should be on the heart, on the tongue, of course, and in the heart. Let me tell you one very interesting hadith from the Prophet, peace be upon him, from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says that when this verse was revealed, Ya ayyuhal ladhina aman, inna kathiran min al-ahbar wal-ruhban laya'kuluna amwas lan-nas bil-batil. Many of religious men of religious authorities. Ahbar wa ruhban, of course, was talking about Christian and Jewish religious authorities. Inshallah, Allah save Muslim religious authorities from this. Inna kathiran min al ahbar wa ruhban la ya'kuluna amwal al nas bil batil. They eat up the money of the people in the name of religion. In the name of religion, they eat the money of people. Alhamdulillah, in Muslim community, this is not something which is prevalent. It may happen, but it's not. But at that time, in those communities, it was very prevalent. They thought that this is their money. not they don't take it to distribute among the poor or the needs of people. They thought it's their money. Then Allah says, this is their description. الَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِرْثَ وَلَا يُنْفَقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who take them, hoard it for themselves, and do not give it to those people who, to whom they belong. Now, when this verse was revealed, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, تَبَّنْ لِلْذَهَبَ تَبَّنْ لِلْفِرْثَ. May Allah curse gold, may Allah curse silver. Now, this was very hard on companions. Companions asked, Ya Rasulullah, we all are struggling to get some gold and silver to have more money, and you are just cursing it. So what should we ask for? What should be our aim in this life? What should be our aim? The Prophet said, قَلْبًا شَاكَرًا. We should have a heart which is thankful to Allah. If you have this heart, thankful to Allah, it cannot be equal with billions of dollars. Cannot be equal. Because billions of dollars you leave, this heart you take with you. قَلْبًا شَاكَرًا وَلِسَانًا ذَاكَرًا. And a tongue which always remembers Allah. ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. And the last one is very interesting. وَزَوْجَةً صَالِحَةً تُعِينُ أَحَدَكُمْ عَلَى دِينِهِ. And a good, صالح spouse, صالح wife, or صالح husband, which helps you in your faith. If you have a good wife or a good husband, it cannot be equaled with money, of course. You have lots of money, but you have a bad husband or bad wife, the life is ruined. You know, there are certain things that we cannot value with money. And most importantly, a heart which is shaker, a tongue which is darker. And this dhikr, ud'u rabbakum, wadhkur, dua, I come later, wadhkur rabbaka fi nafsek. Wadhkur rabbaka, at the end of Surah A'raf, wadhkur rabbaka fi nafsika. You have to remember your Lord in your heart, in yourself. وَذْكُرْ نَفْسَكَ وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَذَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً. First of all, this calling, this remembrance should be with تَذَرُّع, with humbleness and with fear. These two should go hand in hand. This one hand is from Isa alayhi salam. He said that la tukthiru al-kalam bighayri dhikrillah. This hadith should be written by Gold, I think. La tukthiru al-kalam bighayri dhikrillah. Fa inna kathrata al-kalam bighayri dhikrillah taqsul qalb. Do not talk too much without any remembrance of God appearing in your talk. Just talking about vain things, gossiping, all these things. Because this would harden the heart. And the hard heart is away from that darkness covers it. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the protector of the believers. He's bringing them out of darkness into light, that they can feel his presence. They can see him with their hearts around the being present. And then he said, وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا فِي ذُنُوبِ الْعِبَادِ كَأَنَّهُمْ أَرْبَابٌ. This part is very beautiful. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا فِي ذُنُوبِ الْعِبَادِ كَأَنَّكُمْ أَرْبَابٌ وَانْظُرُوا فِي ذُنُوبِكُمْ كَأَنَّكُمْ عَبِيدٌ. Do not look into the sins of the people as you are their masters. You know, we are not master of people. People commit sins. Well, they commit sins, they may repent. Allah will forgive them, inshallah. Am I their masters? Am I their guardian to all the time try to bring it to their attention? You have done such and such. Or waste my time looking into what people do. as if I'm the master of the people. You know, master of the house, if it has servants and servants make mistakes, of course the master wants to correct them. But look into your own sins. As you are abid, you are servants. You know, servants always try to be right, to be correct in what they do, so that their masters would not rebuke them. Be like that. You look into your own sins of people. You know, on the day of judgment, they are not going to ask about sins of people from us, but they ask about our own sins. And these things are the things which bring dhikrullah to our hearts. Dhikrullah to our hearts. And that dhikr, this continuous dhikr, should be matched with dua. Dua. Ask Allah to deepen your faith. That's the most important thing we can ask from Allah. I'm sure you know all these things. I don't need to mention that. But what the most important thing we can ask from Allah is to deepen our faith. Give us more faith. Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan tubashiru bihi qalbi. I ask you a faith which my heart feels it. It touches my heart. That's what I want, a faith. Of course, everything we ask from Allah. I know some people tell me that we don't ask Allah for trivial things like money and such things. We only ask Allah for spirituality, heart. This is wrong. Everything we have to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. From the salt of our food, as is in hadith, Ya Musa, even the salt of your food, ask from me. From that, through the highest levels of spirituality, we have to ask, because there's nothing in this world independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything depends on Him, depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, a humble dua. You know, dua is facilitator of bringing down the rahmah of Allah. It's not enough just to say, Allah knows best what I need, He gives. No. There is one ayah in the Quran which teaches us the importance of dua. When Nuh alayhi salam boarded on the ark and all the people and the animals that he needed, of course it's not that like the Torah says, every animal he took with him, why he should take cockroaches and snakes and such things. No, the animals that they needed, like cattle and these things, so that if they die afterwards, they can breed them. Now they took everything with them in the ark. Now they are on this huge ocean of water, and they don't know where this ship, this ark is going to land, which land. Now they came over the water in Iraq, in Babylon, then they don't know where they're going to land, in Australia, in China, this is going, or wherever it takes them. Now, Allah says, Nuh, قُلْ, in Surah Mu'min, وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَنزِلْنِي مُنزَلًا مُبَارَكًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ. Say, Ya Allah, land us in a blessed land. Make us land in a blessed land, and you are the best one who can, of course, bring us down from this ark, from this ship. Now, why Allah is telling Nuh to say that? Allah wants to give this to Nuh. Why He says you say it? Because without saying it, it wouldn't happen. Without asking, it wouldn't happen. There is a system in this world which works based on dua. Exactly the same way your business works. You have to go to work, you have to try. In the spiritual world, dua is like that. You have to ask certain things. Of course, there are things that Allah has ordained for you, it comes to you. But there are certain things you have to ask. As Nuh is said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask and I give you. Ask me. The Prophet, قُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخَلْنِي. It's very interesting. Why Allah is teaching them to say this? Why Allah taught Adam فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات. Allah taught him, say this, that forgiveness comes. There is a system, there are ways in this spiritual world, they have to match with each other. If they do not match, things don't work. And therefore, now we ask all the time for our well-being, for our rest. This is very good. Everything, as the slightest thing in our life, if we need, it's good to ask Allah about it. But especially asking about this depth of faith, about giving us this spiritual attitude in our life, about giving us that yaqeen which Allah gives to some of his servants. These are the things that are not given to us easily. Let me give you one very interesting story. Interesting story from Abu Hamza al-Thumali. You have heard, of course, Abu Hamza, the Dua Abu Hamza. Abu Hamza was a very knowledgeable scholar. It's not only this dua that he reports from Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. Of course, he has reported this dua from Imam Zain al-Abidin when he was very young, because he was lived throughout the lifetime of Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq, and he actually met or lived part of the life of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam. So he was companion of four Imams: Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam Baqir alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Imam Kazim alayhi salam. And he has written books in tafsir. He was very knowledgeable in fiqh. One of the greatest Shia scholars he was. He says that once I had a daughter, and this daughter fell, and her hand sore very badly, so I took her to the doctor. And the doctor checked the hand and said, it's broken. I have to plaster it, to put jabair on it. Jabira, this we say, wuzu jabira. Jabira are these plasters or dressings that they put on the wound. So he says that my daughter was in pain, crying, and the doctor went to his room to bring the jabair, those woods that they put at that, or those they put woods, not plaster and stitching. When the doctor was away, I started to cry. I loved my daughter very much, and this daughter was in pain. I cried and asked Allah for her shafa. The doctor came out and brought the jabair and started to check the hand. Where was it? Couldn't find it. The other hand? Couldn't find it. And he said, it's strange, there's nothing wrong with this girl. He says, we came out. I was dazzled myself, of course, what happened. And I mentioned this to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. I mentioned this to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, and Imam alayhi salam said, Ya Abu Hamza, wa faqad du'a ar-rida, fastujiba lak bi asra' min tarfatay. You know, your dua matched with the rida of Allah. And when it happens, it was answered in more quicker than blinking of an eye. You know, sometimes we make dua, but it doesn't, the waves do not tune with it, are not tuned with each other. They do not match. Or sometimes it takes some time. As soon as this, what comes from the heart, is in tune with what is in the higher world, the dua is responded. And that's why in his letter to his son, Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam writes that فَلَا يُقَنِّطَنَّكَ إِبْطَاءُ إِجَابَتِهِ. If the answer to dua is slow, you shouldn't be disappointed. Never be disappointed. فَلَا يُقَنِّطَنَّكَ إِبْطَاءُ إِجَابَتِهِ فَإِنَّ الْعَطِيَّةِ بِقَدَرِ النِّيَّةِ. You know, it is to the amount of your niyyah that you receive. The purer You're near. That's what Anbiya alayhi salam, awliya, when they ask something from Allah. If it is not, of course, against the wisdom of Allah, because sometimes we ask things which are against the wisdom of Allah. Would prophets do that? Sometimes they do it. Not knowing. You know which prophet did that, which is mentioned in the Quran? Not knowing that it was not right to ask? Of course, very politely. Nuh alayhi salam. Allah told him, I will save you and all your family. And then his son was drawn. Now look how he puts it to Allah. قَالَ نُوحٌ رَبِّ إِنَّ ابْنِي مِنْ أَحْلِي. Okay, you say my family. My son is from my family, isn't he? إِنَّ ابْنِي مِنْ أَحْلِي وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقِّ. Your promise is true. Now, I cannot analyze this, ya Allah. وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِ. Whatever you say is good. Whatever you have decreed is fine. Just I cannot digest this. You said my family is saved. Your wa'd is haq. وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِ. قَالَ يَا نُوحُ. Now this is a very interesting verse for us, for the Shia, isn't it? قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. He is not from your Ahlul Bayt. Isn't he his son? He is his son, but Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet are different. Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet should be defined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet were defined by the Prophet for us. Not every, of course, the wives of Prophet are his Ahlul Bayt. The uncles of the Prophet, they say his Ahlul Bayt. The daughters of the Prophet are his Ahlul Bayt. But he defined Ya Allah Ha'ula Ahlul Bayti as a prophet, not as a person. As a prophet, Ya Nuh, innahu laysa min ahlik, innahu amalun ghayru salih. He has wrong, he has sins, and he was drawn. Fala tas'alni, this is important. Fala tas'alni ma laysa laka bihi ilm. Do not ask something about which you have no knowledge. So sometimes even the prophets may do, not knowing what they are asking for. So many a time we ask things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't know that it's against the wisdom of Allah, it's against our benefit of all such things. But asking for deeper faith is always good. It is always good. Asking for deeper faith, more spirituality, and of course there should be struggle from here as well. Okay, let me, to conclude, and I want to mention another hadith from Abu Hamza al-Thumali or his relations. To deepen our faith, the first and the last word is the Quran. Quran gives us that depth of faith all the time. And we have to become intimate with the Quran. Then this should be matched with dhikrullah, this should match with dua, and inshallah, Allah will, of course, why Allah wouldn't give us what we want? He is ready, waiting there for us to ask so that He gives us. Now let me come back to this Abu Hamza. This Abu Hamza has a grandson, which is mentioned in Hadith, Hussein ibn bint Abi Hamza. Hussein, the son of the daughter Abu Hamza. I don't know whether this was the same daughter about whom this incident happened or not. Maybe. This hadith, I mention it, is very strange hadith. I usually do not like to mention strange hadith because sometimes they are not very reliable, but because this one is in Kamal al-Ziyarat of Ibn Qulway, which was the ustad of Sheikh Mufid, and Sheikh Mufid and others regard all the ahadith which is in Kamil al-Ziyarat of Ibn Qulway to be credible. So this hadith is from there. He reports it from Hassan ibn Mahbub, which is one of the most reliable companions of Imam Reza alayhi salam. Allah. from Hussein ibn bint Abi Hamza, the son of the daughter of Abu Hamza al-Thumali. He says that at the end of the time of Banu Umayyah, I wanted to go and visit the shrine, the grave of Imam Hussein. There was no shrine, it was the grave of Imam Hussein. And you know how they did go for ziyarah at that time, because the qabr of Hussein was just a desert. Actually, Banu Asad, who came and buried the shuhada, they endangered their own lives by doing it. No one had the right to go and have any attachment to Hussein alayhi salam. Usually the Shia, like this man who was a very committed Shia, Hussein, the grandson of Abu Hamza, they used to go to one of these villages like Qadiriyah, Nainawa, and other villages which were there. They stay there. In the middle of the night, they used to go find the grave, do a quick ziyarah, and go back without the guards of Banu Umayyah detecting them. Very difficult. It was very difficult to go. And you see how important it was, for them to do it, that they endangered their lives by going and just doing one quick ziyarah and coming back. What Allah has given Hussein alayhi salam, Allah knows. إن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. Allah never lays waste the أجر of Hussein. So he says, I went in the middle of the night. I moved after midnight. I moved to go find the grave and make the ziyarah. Suddenly someone stopped me. He said, يا عبد الله, the servant of God, you cannot find the grave, you cannot reach the grave tonight, go back. I was alarmed, who's this man in the middle of the night here? I thought he's one of the guards, and I quickly went back. I thought if he was a guard, he was a good guard. He did not arrest me, just warned me, he said, go back. I went back. Couple of hours later, I said, he has gone. I went back. The grave, he was there, the same man. Said, Ya Abdullah, innaka la tasilu ilayhi. Tonight you would not reach the grave of Hussein. I started to cry. I said, look, I have come from long way, I've come from Kufa, just to pay a visit and go back. Please allow me. I just make a visit, just a ziyarah and go back. He said, you cannot reach it tonight. You know why? Because Musa ibn Imran has sought the permission of Allah and has come from the world of Barzakh with 70,000 angels. They are visiting Hussein alayhi salam. And my mind just boggled and reeled. What is this? And I said, who are you? He said, I am one of the angels who are staying close to the grave, guarding the grave, and also asking forgiveness for the visitors of the grave. Go. You cannot find the grave tonight until Fajr. When Fajr comes, they go. He said, I went back, and just after Fajr, before the light comes, I went, did a quick ziyarah, and I went back. While my mind was, I was dazzled from what I had seen. Now, as I said, this story is very strange. But because it is actually something accepted by all our scholars in this book, Kamil al-Ziyarat, it shows that Sometimes, if you have that purity of heart, like this Hussein, the grandson of Abu Hamza, certain realities are divulged to you, isn't it? That's when he said that Musa ibn Imran, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, is here now. The angels are here. This was divulged to him. It was for him, it was the reward of his ziyarah, actually. Whatever hardship he had taken to come to do the ziyarah, it was the reward for it. What reward Allah has given to Hussein alayhi salam? He has made his remembrance eternal among the Shia. Among the Shia, among many Sunnis as well. It's not only Shias who commemorate Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He has made it eternal. He has made his love in the hearts of the people. And what he gives in the hereafter, Allah knows best. Allah knows best, of course. When Hussein alayhi salam enters the mahshar as a judge, and he wants to actually testify about acts of the people, Allah knows what, of course, his lovers will receive and what his enemies will receive. Of course, what happens is only by the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Karbala, the event has two episodes. One episode is Hussein alayhi salam until the 10th. The other episode is Zainab, salamullah alayha, from 10th of Karbala, 10th of Muharram, until taking this message everywhere. This message should have been taken by someone, should have been mentioned. And she was so outspoken about it that no one could actually tolerate her. Even in Medina, I mentioned later on. No one could tolerate her, so outspoken. There's one thing about Zainab that always have somehow concerned me, and that is Zainab salamullah alayha had a very photographic memory. And I wonder how could she live with that memory of Karbala for the rest of her life, a couple of years, because she passed away a couple of years after Karbala. You know, when she was a child, 6 years old, about that age, her mother Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha, uttered that very eloquent khutbah about Fadak in the mosque in front of all the companions of the Prophet. And that khutbah, anyone who knows Arabic and has seen that khutbah knows that it is a piece of literature. A piece, and every Arab literator who has actually compiled a book about Balaghatun Nisa, the eloquent statements of women, this khutbah is there. Very eloquent, using words which usually used by very, very educated Arabs. Now, Zainab salamullah alayha was present there in masjid and memorized the whole khutbah by hearing it once from her mother. And that's why Abdullah ibn Abbas rahmatullah alayhi, the great scholar of our ummah, when he reports this khutbah fadakiyya from Fatima, peace be upon her, says, Haddathatna aqilatuna Zainab bint Ali. Zainab, the daughter of Ali, reported to us this khutbah. How did Zainab, when did she hear the khutbah? When she was very young. Now, with that photographic memory, you can imagine how it was difficult for Zainab to just think about Karbala all the time, like a movie going before her eyes. However, the depth of her faith, the depth of the knowledge that she had from the Quran. You know, she was one of the mufassirin of the Quran. Even in those 6 months that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was in Mecca, the women of Mecca came, requested her to set some classes for tafsir of the Quran for them, and she did. And when you listen to read the khutbas that she made in Kufa, in Sham, you see his whole insertions of the ayat of the Quran there, as she knows very well how these verses should be used, in what place, what are the ta'wil of every verse. So very, very knowledgeable about that. You know, in Kufa, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad talks to her, thinking that she was broken. She was a broken woman, all two sons. She has lost two sons. She has lost four, five brothers, or even more brothers. She has lost all the family. And now she comes there, and whatever Ubaydullah says, she just cries and beats her head and things like that. That's why when he wanted to break her further, said, كَيْفَ رَأَيْتَ سُنَ اللَّهِ بِأَخِيكَ. How do you judge what Allah did to your brother? Allah did to your brother. Allah humiliated your brother. قَالَتْ مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. I didn't see anything but beauty. هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَاتْلِ فَبَرَزُوا إِلَى مَضَاجِئِهِمْ. These were a group of people. Allah had written for them shahada, martyrdom. They just came and received it. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? They just came and received it. When Yazid was saying those blasphemous poetry, كَذَا لَعِبَتْ هَاشِمُ بِالْمُلْكِ فَلَا خَبَرٌ جَاءَ وَلَا وَحْيٌ نَزَلْ. Banu Hashim played with politics. It was just politics for rulership. There was no revelation and nothing. Zainab salamullah alayha said, صدق الله العظيم ثم كان عاقبة الذين أساءوا السوء أن كذبوا بآيات الله. How true is this verse in Surah Rum, that eventuality of those who do evil is that they deny the ayat of Allah. You are doing it now. You are doing it now. And then she said, أَذَنَنْتَ يَا يَزِيدُ أن أخذت علينا أقطار الأرض وضيقت علينا آفاق السماء أن بنا حوانا من بنا من الله حوانا ولك بها كرامة. You think that now that you have put us in such a situation and you have made us to walk like usara, like captives, you know how they brought these captives to Sham? The way they explain it is very, very heartbreaking. It was not just bringing them to Sham in a journey, no. In every city that they arrived, or in every big village, they went to the circle of the city, they opened these boxes in which the heads were there, they put heads on the spears, and they made the daughters of Ali, the Prophet, to sit in that main circus of the city, so that people come and watch and grasp and do happiness, because these are the defeated army of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this way, they brought them. And Imam Zain al-Abidin says that when we were taken to the palace, they put us in chains, they dragged us, they took us a tour of the palace so that they break their morale, isn't it? They want to see this glory and you are just broken, defeated people. Now, in that majlis, Zainab says, do you think that you brought me just like captives in chains? Allah is honoring you and Allah is humiliating us. Mahlan mahla. Now, slow down. Have you forgotten what Allah says in the Quran? That وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرًا لَأَنفُسِهِمْ. Do the kuffar think that we are giving them respite? It is good for them. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لَيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. We are just giving them respite to add to their sins. So there are many stories about the depth of knowledge of Zainab and the Quran. However, of course, we know that she was broken. She was really broken, but she didn't reveal anything. Until when they came back to Medina. That was very, you know, when you go to a travel, suppose we go to a journey, and in that travel we have an accident, God forbid some of the loved ones die, and now we want to come back to our city. Now, this had happened, the Karbala had taken place, the killing, now they have come back to Medina. A person called Bashir ibn Hazlam, he says that I was with the caravan coming back to Medina. A couple of kilometers outside Medina, Imam Zain al-Abidin said that we camp here. The camps were set up, they camped there, and he called me. He said, Bashir, I know your father was a poet. Do you know anything about poetry as well? I said, yes. He said, so go to Medina and inform the people about the martyrdom of Hussein alayhi salam. Of course, they had heard before, but now you say it in a friendly, from the friendly voice rather than from the enemies. Bashir says, I went to Medina, straight away I went to the mosque of the Prophet. I stood there and I, with the top of my voice, I said, Ya Ahla Yathrib la muqama lakum biha qutil al-Husayn fa'admi madrar الجسم منه بكربلاء مدرج والرأس منه على القناط يدار. Oh people of Medina, why are you staying in Medina anymore? Hussein is killed. You have to cry like storms. And his body is in Karbala, his head is being going round on the spears. The people of Medina came out. What are you saying, Bashir? He said, go and visit Zainul Abidin and Zainab outside Medina. Medina just became like a storm of people going out, barefooted. They just came out, going towards where Imam was camping. He says that people rushed before me, so I just rode on my camel, on my horse, and I just rode very fast. When I arrived, I saw it was very difficult for me to go and see. Just from far away, I tried to go through the crowd. I saw that people are crying. Zainul Abidin has a handkerchief and wiping his tears. And then he started to talk to the people, what had happened to us in Karbala. Now, you can imagine, Ummul Banin would come to ask, what happened to my sons, isn't it? What happened to Abbas? What happened to other sons? Abdullah ibn Ja'far is coming to ask, what happened to my sons? What happened to Hussein? Everyone is coming and asking, and Zainab and Zainul Abidin are just replying, telling the story, how heartbreaking it would be. Of course, none of them could have explained that when Hussein alayhi salam, Hussein's body was lying on the ground, the horses trampled on his body, breaking his bones. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُ.